turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. That's where we'll begin today. Matthew chapter 16. And as we prepare for the lesson today, it's a great day to rejoice, is it not? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will definitely lackluster, church. Definitely lackluster. I was afraid of that. It's a great day to rejoice, is it not? Okay, let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Okay, a few people were just louder and covered those of you that weren't. Those of you that were being stubborn and just saying, we'll rejoice. Okay, fine. Can we get through this? It's a choice. He made this day for you and for me. You and me. He made this day. Let's do something with it and let's do something about it. Amen? And I can think of nothing better to do than to rejoice. Now, today, as we look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 16, and we'll go a few other chapters, not all together, we're going to look at Jesus' predictions on his road to the cross. You know, last year, Easter was in March. This year, it's down towards the tail end of April. And it moves back and forth. But it's still just like Advent. The season of Advent is gone. But the message of Advent is year-round. The season of Jesus' journey to the cross may be past, not yet, but after Easter it will be. But that message is for all times, for us to think about and us to reflect. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23. And it says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. And he must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuking Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Man, I wouldn't want to be in Peter's sandals at this time, because Jesus responded and he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. This song we sang, It Is Well. That is all about being mindful of the things of God and not the things of men. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Now I get on that surface, it may not be well. But if our eyes are focused on heaven, and focused on Jesus, and mindful of the things of God, it will be well. It can be well with your soul. I'll talk about it again at the end of the message about our Ash Wednesday service. And there's reminders during that service to help us stay focused on Him. Now, Jesus, this is the first time that he predicts his death and resurrection. The second time is over in Matthew chapter 17, if you'll flip a page over there. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. And this is pretty short. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. He said again, man, I'm going to be betrayed. I mean, he knew everything that was going to happen. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They're going to kill him. He predicted his death again, but reminded them of the resurrection also. And the third day, he will be raised up. But it still made them sad. Now flip over a few more pages to Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19. And it says, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. Three times Jesus said, I am going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to kill me. And on the third day I will rise. They were sorrowful. They were bothered. Notice there, as they're going on their journey, he pulled them aside to tell them this news. Now I find it interesting, right after that, in chapter 20, verse 20, says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons kneeling down. Oh, she wanted to make this real nice. Kneeling down and asking something from him. He said, what do you wish? Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and one on the left in your kingdom. And Jesus said, man, you don't know what you're asking. It's not up to me. But once those other disciples found out, they were a little upset by that questioning. He's talking about his betrayal. And then right after that, hey, you mind if my son sit one on your right and one on your left? When you die and are resurrected. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You worried about where your sons will sit. You know, Wednesday, I think just before Bible study started, maybe after, maybe during, I don't remember. But we were talking about the streets of gold. And we talked about, man, will there be big houses, little houses, and whatever? And wise Mr. Dale said, hey, we're going to be judged by our works. We're going to be rewarded for our works. That tells me some will have more reward than others. Because we're rewarded based on our works. We have to be mindful of the things of God. We have to be focused on things above. Now, Peter wanted to say, hey, that's not going to happen to you. We'll protect you. And my message today, it's a little funky, but I titled it, Hold Your Fire. Hold your fire. Church, we want to fling things out so quick. Our response to things happening in the news, in the church, in the family, in the school, in the business, in the home, whatever. We want to make our position known. But I think Jesus teaches us here, hold your fire. I'm not a military guy, but I know that sometimes in the military, the enemy tries to draw your fire, do they not? Well, guess what? In our faith, the enemy tries to draw our fire so that he can attack. That's why the message is hold your fire. Be focused on the things of God. Keep your eyes focused on things above. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to worry about anything happening here. But it says we have to be careful. And every now and then we may have to ride things out. Jesus said they were in a boat. The storm's going. And Jesus said, what are you worried about? It is well with my soul. Hold your fire. Ride this thing out. That thing looks like an enemy, but it's not. By the way, church, what does the Bible tell us to do with our enemy? Love your enemy. Now, it doesn't say open your home and everything you have to your enemy, but it says love them. And sometimes you get to know them and love them by holding your fire. When we talked Wednesday night during Bible study, Linda mentioned about her work and different things. And I said, we need people in our lives to help bridge the gap from things that I can't see. I can't see that perspective. Let me help you from my perspective and what I see and what I deal with. And that helps bridge the gap. And it helps us to be able to see the other side. We want so bad to attack or to fire or to the bad name we get Bible thumpers to thump people with this thing. Why do we use this as a tool to hurt people? Man, this should be a tool that we have around us as we're giving someone a compassionate hug. As we're sharing God's love with them and telling them who and what He is. Now, I thought as Jesus is preaching to the thousands, He didn't stop and He didn't go up to each and every one of them and say, how can I solve your problem? How can I solve your problem? What can I do for you? How can I solve your problem? He stood and He said, here is my message. Respond to it. We can't be all things to all people. We can't do all things for all people. We can hear His message and say, God, how would you like me to respond? And Eric, oh, that man Wednesday, at the end of his Bible study, whoosh, a zinger, stuck with me ever since. Who is at your gate? Who is laying at your gate, church? Oh, Eric doesn't stop there, no. And the cherry on top. And what are you doing about it? I said, ouch, but I loved it. Who is at your gate and what are you doing about it? Jesus here is predicting His death on His journey to the cross. We're on a journey. This is our temporary home. But while we're here, knowing that we will be rewarded for our works, who is at our gate and what are we doing about it? Now the enemy is trying to draw fire. Well, you know when Jesus was praying in the garden and His disciples fell asleep a few times on Him, right? And someone cuts off the man's ear. Jesus is going, hold your fire. Pick that thing up, give it to me, okay? But He says, hold your fire. Even as Jesus is being turned over, handed over to men, as He put it, He said, hold on. This has to happen. Peter wanted so bad to protect Jesus and be the one. You know, this Wednesday, as we celebrate Ash Wednesday, it's a great opportunity for us to set the mood for the journey to the cross. It's just like Advent. Remember a couple weeks later, I said, who needs hope? And I handed you the big hope sign. It's the same thing, church. We need hope throughout the year. We need peace throughout the year. We need joy throughout the year. This is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Whew, there's some joy. If I wake up with that attitude, that starts the day off right. You know, my wife and I did a little work around the house yesterday outside and went over to Austin's house to do a few things. And guess what I found out? I'm not as young as I used to be. I was sore and I was tired real quick. Real quick. I mean, I got home like it was over. It's too hot. Get some air. I just picture Haley in my mind going, Adam, that's not healthy. Yeah, I know it's not. But I also picture Laren going, Adam, you're a drama queen. So there's a little bit of mix of both of those things in there. But I was hot and tired, and I'm not as young as I used to be. My point being, it takes work to stay in shape, and it takes work for us to be faithful and to have good fitness in our faith journey. Putting us in the mood for the journey to the cross. I love it. You know, Ash Wednesday, it's an opportunity to remind us of our own mortality. It emphasizes, listen carefully, this is the thing we usually try and say, oh, I didn't hear him. I must have missed that part. It emphasizes a repentant heart. And it is a time of preparation for Easter and what that represents. Just like Advent was a time of expectation with the birth of Jesus, and Ash Wednesday is an opportunity for us to look at Jesus' journey for 40 days and prepare for what that represents. You know, we talk about 2025. Come alive in 25. Well, what do you think that means? That means action. Boy, I sure could use some healing. I sure could use some good stuff in my life. Sometimes it takes action on our part. He says, get up out of your chair and walk over there and take what I've put down for you to have. I'm not going to hand deliver it to you every time. You've got to get up out of it and come get it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I said you've got to be vigilant and intentional and serious. I'm going to do this, church. We're going to sing in just a minute here. And when we do, I want you to come forward if you want more. I want you to come and I want you to stand right here. And I want you to sing from right here. Or I just want you to stand here and praise God from right here. Okay? If you're not physically able to do it, I get it. What I'd like for you to do at least is raise your hand saying, I want to praise God from here. I'm just asking for an action so that really He knows. I mean, yes, for all of us to see also, but it's not for that purpose. But God says, I have this here waiting for you. And today this is what he has, the hem of his garment. And I want you to fight the crowd. And I want you to press in. And I want you to stretch yourself. And touch the hem of his garment. And I want you to feel that power. I'm just calling for action. We got a lot of little ones with us today. If you'd like, I'd like for you to bring them up as well. I want us to come alive in 25. But as I said several weeks ago, I don't want us just to come alive in 25. I want us to thrive in 25. Church, when we're out there and we are doing the Lord's work and we're on our faith journey and we're going where God has directed, we may be going in the right path, but sometimes he says, hold your fire. Jesus predicted his death. His disciples said, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen, but this shall not happen to you. And he told them again, and they were sorrowful. I don't want us to get to heaven and go, oh, there's Dale Bradshaw. Hey, Dale, what's going on? Holy cow. Look at this reward for your works. Oh, yeah, Adam, where's yours? Right there. There it is. I don't want us to have regret. And I love that story that we read Wednesday night in Bible study. For the rich man that said, oh, can you send back the guy that went to heaven? Because I'm down here in Hades. Could you send the other guy to warn my family? And I don't want us to have regret. Listen carefully. And this is hard to say and hard to hear. No matter what our age, young or old, when we go, I don't want us to have regret. And I want us to live a life that is full of faith, that is proven by our actions. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message today. God, I thank you for Jesus being able to tell his disciples about his upcoming death, how it would happen, but to also be able to tell them the good news of his resurrection. God, even when the disciples tried to protect him, he said, get behind me, Satan. And he told them to focus on the things of God and not the things of men. God, I pray today that we focus on the things of God and not the things of man. Today, I'm asking us to hold our fire. Give it extra time to sense the situation, the setting. Or is this the enemy trying to draw my fire so that they can find my weak and vulnerable places? God, today I pray when we praise you today through the singing of this song, it is well. God, that we come forward. We believe in it. We lean on one another. We find energy from one another. We find comfort and peace from one another. God, that we don't hold back. God, I pray today that you're calling us to a closer likeness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.